The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the Southern Living Magazine Special Collector's Edition, and it has a headline on it called Best of the South. We will today be looking at a culinary gem, or culinary gem, however you pronounce it, in the emerging food scene in Greenville, South Carolina, which makes it a must-stop and eat destination. And then if we have time, we'll take a look at some of the best places to retire in the South. All right? Ready? The cover of this magazine, it is it's a purple sunset. I wonder if it's enhanced, frankly, listeners, by Photoshop or something. But maybe it's not, because it's very purple. It's a golden sky, and the sun is setting behind some purple mountains. They are the Blue Ridge Mountains, though. And in the foreground, that's the background, the foreground, the mountains, which are lushly covered with forest green trees. And as it gets closer and closer, right before us is a huge azalea bush, which tells us that this is springtime. And not right now, of course, but the photo here was taken during the springtime. It's a huge bush, and the azaleas are a pinkish purple. And the print from the top to the bottom reads, Southern Living, Special Collector's Edition, Best of the South, The Drive of a Lifetime, Our Mile-by-Mile Guide to the Blue Ridge Parkway, Weekend Road Trips, Perfect Beach and Mountain Towns, Where to Stay, Eat, and Explore, plus Best Places to Retire, from San Antonio to Asheville. And the caption of the photo that we just described is the East Fork Overlook from the Blue Ridge Parkway. And then it says, backed by popular demand, third printing of Best of the South, 2023. Excuse me. But this magazine just came out this year and will be, or last year, it will be on display, it says here, until 3/13/26. All right. A culinary gem. The emerging food scene in Greenville, South Carolina, makes it a must-stop-and-eat destination. And this, listeners, begins with a full-page photo of Gianna Chef Michael Kramer. And he is against a background of, he's behind a bar, behind a wooden counter. Behind him are very neatly organized, uniformly spaced black shelving with a white wall background. And they are, I guess, wine bottles. They appear to me to be wine bottles, but they could be olive oil bottles, too. Yes, I think they might be olive oil bottles since the counter is a wooden counter. And our chef, Michael Kramer, from the Gianna restaurant, which we'll read about soon, he is taking out with his two arms a long golden piece of dough, it looks like, yes. He has reddish hair, and he's wearing black glasses. We see him in a profile because he's looking at what he's doing. He's wearing a black T-shirt and a black apron. And on the wooden counter before him, right in front of us here, are a small white bowl, a knife of some sort, another baking implement with a wooden handle that I can't quite discern, and some bread bleeding off the page. the next page, we've also got full-page photos, three of them, clockwise from top left, swordfish from the anchorage, pulled brisket sandwich at the cook station, and brunch at Topsoil Restaurant. The swordfish, listeners, is surrounded by beets and potatoes and dill. It's a beautiful presentation. It's got golden, golden and purplish vegetables surrounding it. I guess we'll hear a radicchio, it looks like, too. The brisket sandwich at the cook station, which is the name of the restaurant, is piled high with pulled brisket. Wow, and there's brown rice and, I'm guessing, could be quinoa, but I'm pretty sure it's brown rice and chickpeas, appears to be. And there are three pickle chips on top of that sandwich, that big the bun that houses all that pulled brisket. And then at the bottom, we've got powdered sugared beignets in a gray or silver-colored bowl to match a silver ladle beside it. And then a little pot with a handle. It's a little silver pot with a handle, iron pot with a handle that has raspberries in their juices in it. Okay, and turning the page. All right, just four more photos before we start this. Clockwise from top left, Ruth Doyle of the cook station. Topsoil Restaurant's fresh bread. Gianna's Respect Your Elders cocktail. Meat and cheese plate from the anchorage. So Ruth Doyle in the cook station is holding a apron that has a very colorful garden print on it. It's a garden scene with irises and roses and poppies and pinks and reds with a green background and purple. I call them irises, but that's not true, listeners, as they are actually foxgloves. I think they're foxgloves. They're long cylindrical purple flowers. And Ruth Doyle is she appears to be a later middle-aged woman wearing black slacks and a golden sweater with black glasses hanging on the collar of the sweater. She has a white turtleneck under that sweater. And her shoes are black flats with some white socklets that she's wearing. The background is the storefront. It's a glass window, floor-to-ceiling windows, but just before the windows are steel wire shelves with pots and pans on them. The Topsoil Restaurant's fresh bread. There are three or four golden loaves of bread on a grate, on a silver grate that's sitting on a counter. And there are shelves in the background with bottles of something that we can't quite discern. And then there's the Respect Your Elders cocktail at Gianna's is purple, purplish pink with some, got to call it thyme, and we'll see when we read the article whether that was it or not. And then there's the meat and cheese plate from the anchorage. It's plentiful meat and cheeses and brown breads and other breads, also some French bread, chunks of French bread also on it. Okay, I can't quite discern the meats, but there's also some vegetables, some cauliflower and some red pepper strips in there and some okra as well. And that in the background, there is a wine glass filled with wine and a water glass half filled with water. And now, as someone who has lived, we'll start the story now. And let's see, we can tell you who's writing this story. Let's see. Well, it is, as someone who has lived in Atlanta, on and off since 1978, I'm still amazed at treasure like the concentration of Korean restaurants near the automotive manufacturers in Alabama, or the abundance of incredible immigrant-led restaurants in Clarkston, Georgia. I've often traveled through Greenville on the drive from Atlanta to Asheville to visit my parents. I can't count the number of times that I've purchased superior South Carolina peaches from the roadside stand next to the Sphinx gas station in nearby Traveler's Rest because I was wondering what to eat but drawing a blank. I won't have that problem after this eating expedition, because I have found that Greenville's culinary offerings make it a place worth savoring. As a restaurant critic and a mom, I have two essential criteria for a southern road trip. There must be good dining options and lots of activities. Greenville has both, including plenty of museums with exciting exhibits and established restaurants in every category, whether it's Bucky's Barbecue or fresh regional cuisine at Sobey's. There are imports from other southern cities and towns, including the Mast General Store with barrels of candy and Hall's Chop House out of Charleston. But Greenville has a distinct personality all its own. In recent years, the city's food scene has expanded its borders, both geographically and culturally. There's everything from Ariana Afghan cuisine to tacos at Califas, a strip mall spot that started in 2020 as a pop-up serving trendy birria, a slow-cooked meat filling. And listeners, I'm going to correct that pronunciation. I think it's Califas. I'm sure it is. Okay? Tacos at Califas. Excuse me. Califas owner, Erica Dila, hails from Culver City, California. Hence menu items with names like Sunset Boulevard and Palm Springs. The classic heavenly delicious birria taco is a perfect benchmark for how this dish should taste. And the crispy tortilla shell and gooey strings of melted white cheese make it way too fun to eat. Dip it into the accompanying consommé, which is cooking liquid, for a saucy treat. Neighborhood favorite, The Anchorage, was a James Beard Award semifinalist in 2018. Chefs Gregory McPhee, who was on the opening team at Husk in Charleston, and Alex Morgan make this a can't-miss spot. Enter through Taxi House Wines, which sells a fun assortment of the bottles served at this bi-level eatery. Although the cocktails with whimsical names like Kermit the Fizz are delightful, wines match the incredible menu best. Delicious options might include a handcrafted cheese plate with silky smooth bourbon liver mousse, or a thick slab of North Carolina swordfish with fresh greens and fried garlic. The Cook Station, and that's the name of a restaurant, listeners. The Cook Station presents a hyper-southern array of products showcased next to top-of-the-line Blue Star ovens for those who have food and cooking on the brain. Its newest location on Buncombe Street in downtown Greenville opened during the pandemic and sells gadgets and goodies that you never even knew you needed. Want to shop for a while? Grab a glass of champagne from the wine bar or a sandwich at the cafe. And listeners, there is a photo here of Chef Erica Dila and Julissa and John Dila of Califas. And the background is a brightly colored kind of neon colors, oranges, pinks, and purples, and of the some iconic buildings in Los Angeles. And it says Hollywood on the Hollywood sign on top of the hills is pictured, and the Beverly Hills Hotel and Randy's Donuts in Culver City. Those are what the signs that we can see say. And the chefs that we mentioned are, left to right, are, excuse me, Julissa and John Dila, and then Erica Dila. And these are that they are at Khalifa's. They are all smiling, and they're all wearing black uniforms with pink purplish round patches on the upper left, you know, just on their upper left chest. And they say Khalifa's in white script, and there's a black palm tree in the center in the background behind the word Khalifa's on the patch. One of them at the left, Julissa, is holding an orange soda, which I should recognize, but the print's not facing so that I can't really see what it is. And the three of them are sharing the support of a silver tray that's got tacos and chips and, gosh, oh, churros. That's what those are. Churros with whipped cream and chocolate sauce. They look great. And the little cups of sauces around them. Looks really good if we can get to Khalifa's in Greenville, South Carolina. But back to our essay. In the west end of town, close to Flower Field and the new South Carolina Children's Theater, you'll find Gather GVL, an outdoor food court of multicolored shipping containers. It's home to 13 businesses serving everything from giant artisan donuts at Hendo to Maine-style lobster rolls at the Lob Father. As you walk down Augusta Street, you'll see cute boutiques selling brands like Vince, Longchamp, and Alice and Olivia, plus locally made jewelry. After a day of shopping, lunch at Gianna is a wonderful way to recharge. Fresh pasta is the first thing you notice as you climb the pastel green stairs to the Italian eatery, which looks out onto Falls Park on the Reedy. If the weather permits, take a seat on the patio. Order the tender and light chicken piccata or any of the homemade pasta dishes. Each is sauced with a deft hand and is even better complemented by wine. You are on vacation, after all. It would be hard to discuss the culinary scene in Greenville without mentioning the town of Traveler's Rest, which is about 9 miles away and growing into a powerhouse with strong ties to the land. There you'll find Topsoil Restaurant. As soon as you see the door handles, which are cast from metal to look like curled carrots, with tops intact, you'll know this is a place that takes the earth seriously. Committed to farm-to-table cuisine, Chef Adam Cook was a James Beard Award semifinalist for Best Chef Southeast in 2020. Baguettes are for sale near the hosting stand, but save yourself for the jaw-dropping ways this kitchen spins ingredients, such as a plate of za'atar roasted carrots and beets served with charred hummus and cilantro pesto. If you're lucky, you might catch the homemade raspberry donuts. They're slightly sweet, a little tart, and pure love in each warm bite. Wondering where to stay? The West End is a stalwart on Main Street, but if you like something more contemporary, the AC Hotel Greenville feels brand new and has a rooftop area ideal for special events. During my stay, the license plates in and out of the valet hailed from as far away as New York. given the abundance of tourists visiting the South. It seems like the rest of the nation is waking up to all that our culinary industry has to offer. After seeing other cities get their due, it's fun to watch the accolades for Greenville roll in. And that again is Greenville, South Carolina, listeners. And here on the bottom are top 15 cities on the rise. Greenville, South Carolina is number one. 2, Raleigh, North Carolina. 3, Chattanooga, Tennessee. 4, Franklin, Tennessee. 5, Huntsville, Alabama. 6, Alexandria, Virginia. 7, Fort Worth, Texas. 8, Fort Myers, Florida. 9, Alpharetta, Georgia. 10, Bentonville, Arkansas. 11, Frisco, Texas. 12, Bowling Green, Kentucky. 13, Sandy Springs, Georgia. 14, Lynchburg, Virginia. And 15, Mater, Louisiana. And listeners, we've got some photos, 4 more photos here. Clockwise from top left, San Pedro's Fiesta Chicken Sandwich at Khalifa's. I got to tell you, listeners, we got to go to Khalifa's here. The chicken is fried chicken. It looks like there's fried onions there. There's lettuce. There's tomato. It's on rye, and it's piled quite high. And there's a bottle of some raspberry colored soda in the background. It's blurred, so I believe it's raspberry. And some small cups of sides that are blurred there in the background as well. Over to the right of that, a trio of spreads and chicken liver pate at Topsoil Restaurant. And that has lots of greens, carrot greens and chicken liver pate, 3 different colors. Can't quite tell what they are. One appears to have a caviar garnish, if that's possible. And there's some red onions and lots of delicious looking golden toasted French bread. And these are all on wooden cutting boards. And there's a glass of a wine glass of something with a green parsley garnish or some kind of greenery garnish on that. And it's a golden colored cocktail, like maybe an apricot sour could be. But these are handled boards, wooden boards that these are served on. Lots of slices of breads on them. And that's all we can see. And it's also upon a wooden table. There's another apricot-looking drink with ice in the background bleeding off the page. And we can see what appears to be a gentleman's hands presenting one of those cutting boards that are filled with all of those pâtés and breads. In the lower left-hand corner, we have the interior. Oh, excuse me. It's not the lower left-hand corner. It's all across the bottom of half of the page is the interior of Topsoil Restaurant, the one that we just has those liver pâtés that we just described. So that the interior is a very casual white tables, white marble top tables with wooden chairs that are the standard chairs that you'd find in assembly halls, just backs and bottoms and simple. And there is some light blue cloth napkins on the tables and some empty glasses on the tables. It's not populated yet. Doesn't appear to be open yet. The background is a white wall with the electrical outlets in silver are prominent on the wall coming up from the bottom of the wall. But what's most prominent are 2 wall hangings, huge wall hangings that might have been carpets of some sort. though I can't tell for sure, listeners. But one is a blue and white print, an abstract print of some sort. It's circular in the center. The print is circular in the center and has vertical stripes of the same print in the background. And the one on the right, the right-hand side of this page, is all coral, brown, and white, different abstract designs and small squares throughout. They're pretty. It's a relaxing-looking atmosphere. And from the top hangs a chandelier that is all gold bars that are crisscrossed and with a bulb on either end of each bar. So it's similar to a star. It's got a starry vibe to it. And that's our story about Greenville, South Carolina. And listeners, in the couple of minutes that we've got left, we'll just read the best places to retire. We'll just read what the towns are for you so that you might research those further. Here's what the best places to retire are. Mountain towns, Asheville, North Carolina, Ellijay, Georgia, Morgantown, West Virginia, and Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Well, let's give you the median home value of each. In Asheville, it's $484,000. In Ellijay, Georgia, $413,275. Morgantown, West Virginia, $274,455. And Eureka Springs, Arkansas, $309,928. Here are some beach towns that are considered best places to retire. Virginia Beach, Virginia. The median home value there is $418,362. Clearwater, Florida. Median home value $348,428. Folly Beach, South Carolina. The median home value there is $1,070,801. Jacksonville, Florida, the median home value is $290,108. We've got some river towns. Chattanooga, Tennessee, $327,884. And San Antonio, Texas, Columbus, Georgia, and Florence, Alabama. And that is our time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.